hoping before the end of the month. The governor and I are having some discussions over language. But it's an even playing field because he can't do a bill and I can.
Right.
So.
House Water Environment Committee will come to order. We have a couple work sessions this morning we're gonna start with. The first bill is House Bill 3571. Some interest to the media. And we have the staff read the description of House Bill 3571.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 3571 requires the State Fish and Wildlife Commission to establish an annual swan hunting season.
Thank you. Committee, this has been requested by the Committee on Agriculture because this is agricultural damage, so we would like to move it to that committee.
Madam Chair, as soon as you go into work session.
Okay. Any work session on House Bill
3239?
Representative Cruz.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3571 be reported out without recommendation and its bill be referred to the Committee on Agriculture and Forestry.
Representative Cruz has moved House Bill 3571 to the Committee on Agriculture without recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there objection? So ordered. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 3239, and I'm calling forward Robert Hobson, Oregon Association of County Engineers and Surveyors.
Good morning, Chair Close, members of committee. I'm Robert Hobden. I live at 2581 Southeast Moreland Way in Gresham, Oregon, and I'm representing the Oregon Association of County Engineers and Surveyors, and I'm chair of the Surveyors Division. The majority of the county surveyors support this proposed amendment. There's a couple counties that do not have a permanent exact copy in the county surveyor's office, and they're not supportive of it because they want to mark the original or street vacations on the original plat. This is Wasco County, is the only one I'm aware of. Most of the other counties have an exact copy in the surveyor's office, and we will continue to mark the street vacations on that. So for the majority of the counties, this is fine. If there's any questions, I'd certainly be happy to answer them for you.
Questions? Representative Cruz.
So what would this do to Wasco?
They might have to change their procedures, start requiring an exact copy, which is allowed by law. They could do some means to reproduce their originals into a copy that could be kept in the surveyor's office. That's something that might cost them a little bit of money.
Okay, Madam Chair, that was my question. I mean, what would my concern might be the fiscal impact because Wasco is not a rich county.
Right. Right now, they've been using paper copies to keep in the surveyor's office, and they're getting pretty tattered and torn through the years of usage.
Further questions? Thank you very much. Appreciate your research. Next, we have Charles Stern, Yamhill County Clerk.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Charles Stern. I'm the Yamhill County Clerk, and I chair the Oregon Association of County Clerks Legislative Committee. As has been pointed out, there's a county that we're aware of that is not using the current procedures that most counties are using. And in response to Representative Cruz's concern about fiscal impact, one of the fiscal impacts is actually more relates to the developer, because in all the other counties, we're requesting that the developer submit that extra copy of the plat at the time of they record it, and then that goes to the county surveyor as well as the one for the clerk. The other option that I have chatted with the county clerk, Karen LeBreton, in Wasco County about was once she films her original plat, then she no longer has to retain that under Oregon archival standards, and then that original could go to the surveyor for him to continue marking. So there's some options to that for them. The big issue that we're trying to address was last session We amended 93080, 92120, 92140, 92160. We had a whole list of statutes we amended, and these we didn't, and so we're kind of in this no man's land. And we say we can't stay in no man's land. We got to go one way or the other. And so that's why this bill was introduced. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. Next we have Stephen Cafori. And George, is it Kathy? Professional Land Surveyors of Oregon. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Stephen Cafori. I'm here this morning representing the Professional Land Surveyors of Oregon. We took a look at this bill when it was first printed and decided that we had no objections to the bill and decided we wouldn't get involved in it. But we heard that one of the members of the committee, Representative Morgan, wanted to know where the professional land surveyors were on this issue, so we're here today to tell you that. I'd like to introduce George Cathy, who is a professional land surveyor and chairman of our legislative committee.
Good morning. The professional land surveyors of Oregon have taken a look at this, and we are in accord with this legislation. From a personal standpoint, I deal with boundary disputes, and any time an ambiguity arises, it impacts the public monetarily, physically, and all sorts of ways. This helps eliminate some of that ambiguity. We have consistent records everywhere, and I believe that that's of a paramount importance, and I personally also in accord with this legislation.
Committee, do you have questions? I would like to point out that Representative Morgan has also given her, has talked to her surveyors and given her approval. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
And Chair.
Representative Cruz.
I move House Bill 3239 with follow to be passed recommendation.
Representative Cruz has moved House Bill 3239 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye. Excuse.
Aye.
Excuse. Aye.
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 Representative
Morgan
is excused.
Chair Close. Close aye. Madam Chair, I move that House Bill 3239 be added to the consent calendar.
Well, then we do deprive one member of being able to carry.
Yeah, and we save 5-10 minutes on floor. So.
Okay. Representative Cruz has moved House Bill 3239 to the consent calendar. Is there discussion?
Madam Chair, this is just a technical bill. This is the sort of thing that the consent calendar was designed for. So.
The clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Is excused.
Aye.
Is excused.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is excused. Well, fine. House Bill 3239 moves to the House floor on the consent calendar.
We're cooking now.
Okay, I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3144, and the staff will read the summary.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. House Bill 3144 modifies the priority of land to be included in the urban growth boundary.
Calling Donald Ottoman, City of North Plains. Are you presenting the bill?
No, well, there's three of us presenting the position of the City of North Plains. What I'd like to do would be to ask if Rudy Kedlub could come forward first, followed by Herb Hirsch, and then myself.
Okay.
We'll come together.
So the time for switch.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Rudy Kedlub. I'm Chief Executive Officer of Costa Pacific Homes. We're a master planned community developer and home builder, building throughout the Northwest, including the Portland region and Central Oregon and Bend. We are the co-developer and builder of Varenco Station, a master planned transit-oriented community in Hillsboro. The current law provides that expansion of an urban growth boundary shall give priority to exception land that is adjacent to an existing urban growth boundary. House Bill 3144 simply removes that priority if that exception land lies across the freeway from an existing urban growth boundary. It does not or is not intended to preclude a city from choosing to expand across a freeway if it deems that that makes good planning sense, nor does it have an effect on cities which are already divided by a freeway. The City of North Plains has been in periodic review since 1995. In 1997, ODOT funded a TGM study to determine the amount and direction of growth to help the city to get through a periodic review. The results of that study recommended that growth occur to the north and the east, and that was a unanimous recommendation by the TGM. Subsequently, the Planning Commission and City Council unanimously supported the TGM study. The city has asked Coastal Pacific Homes, which has optioned land on both the north and the east of the city, to assist them in their planning, simply because they do not have the resources in which to do so. And we have provided a plan, and I've asked your assistant to pass out a plan that you should have in front of you. Before getting into that, I might just point out on this aerial map, 1997, the City of North Plains, this is the original township, and then on your map you'll see in the salmon color there is that the actual city limits and urban growth boundary, and the freeway runs along the south edge, and there's a triangle-shaped exception land here you can see covered with orchards and a residential neighborhood and airport that runs through this exception land. The current laws, again, would suggest that the city must give priority to this first before considering other areas. So this law is proposed would allow the city to pass on that priority and choose to grow and stay on the same size as the current exists. In this plan, as I said, the salmon color is this area. What we've done in the planning is introduce a concept of an ultimate growth boundary. An ultimate growth boundary would determine the restriction of a city ultimately, whether it's 2040, 2080, or 2300, using natural or man-made boundaries. Certainly, the southern boundary would be a freeway. Here at the north is a permanent facility, a permanent green space, pumpkin and golf course. This is all wetlands. There's a rail line along here, Jackson School Road on the east, a historic farm on the southeast, and Pumpkin Ridge Road and a drainage in Gordon Road on the west. This would define the ultimate growth of the city. What we have designed for the city would be a compact urban form, an urban wrinkle-esque form, if you will, at about 8.4 units per acre. It includes pedestrian connections to the city. The plan also includes a revitalization of the town center and forms of compact growth, all interconnected, pedestrian-connected neighborhoods. The current city has the town center right here with a school on this side of the freeway, the fire department on this side of the freeway, the post office on this side of the freeway, the city hall on this side of the freeway. The city also extends all the way out to the east. What we are looking for is the development of a series of interconnected neighborhoods, and House Bill 3144 is designed to give communities like North Plains the freedom to avoid planning and livability problems that can arise when smaller communities develop on both sides of the freeway. Are there any questions about that?
Questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Cruz.
Nothing in law requires them to expand on the inside of the freeway, but this change basically prohibits them from doing it.
Representative Cruz, it is not the intent of the bill to prohibit them from selecting to go on to the south side of the freeway if they choose to do so, if they thought that would be good planning.
But the way this is written, if it's on the inside of the freeway, it's not considered adjacent land.
It would change the priority of that so that it would not have to consider it as exception land. That's correct.
Just to follow up, Madam Chair. The fact that it has to be considered doesn't mean that that has to be where it happens. Is that true?
That is correct, although it leaves some, because of the way that it's worded, it leaves some judgment, and we think it's not clearly defined, and we think this would clearly define the situation.
Thank you.
Representative Monica.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this, you are saying, would probably decrease the chance of litigation. Would that help that?
Yes.
Because if the city really did want to go north, and then someone would take a look at this without this sentence in it, will say, no, the city should really be going south because there's exception land down there. I mean, I'm trying to figure out the reasoning for that. But if the city decided they did want to use the exception land, then they could go there. I mean, that's the intent, I think, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This would seem to have quite a bit of unknown impact for all the other lands that are adjacent to 205 and I-5 and various other freeways. Have you looked at the extent of impact this bill might create?
Again, Representative Lee, I believe the intent of this, and if we need to add clarifying language to this bill, we would entertain that. But if a city already exists on both sides of a freeway, then the bill is moot because it would have exception land that's adjacent to it on both sides, or could, you know, it's already there. The city's already on both sides, so it doesn't affect it. This only is intended to affect a city who is located only on one side of the freeway from having to consider as first priority exception land that's on the other side. They can choose to do so, but they don't have to do so.
Follow up. I'm thinking that's exactly the circumstance of Happy Valley, and it could impact negatively Happy Valley's choices.
Did you want to reply?
Madam Chair, Don Otterman with the City of North Plains.
Mm-hmm.
The bill is intended to simply give us the option to look at the land across the freeway, but not have to take the land in as a priority if it's determined that we don't want to, for good planning purposes. It does not preclude a city from going across the freeway if that's the best choice. But it gives us the option right now, and there is in the expansion process going through. We've had hearings with property owners on the north, south, east, and west. Each one of them have been given the opportunity to state why we should expand in their direction. The property owners to the south, and you'll hear from them, I think, shortly, have made a point that state law requires that priority be given to exception land, period, if it's adjacent to an urban growth boundary. And they have actually stated in public hearings that we know that it's going to be a planning problem, we know there's going to be problems with expansion to the south, but you have no choice. And what we're saying is we would like to be able to plan for the future of the city without being mandated to go across the freeway if it is not in the best interest of the city to do so.
Thank you.
Representative Monica.
And thank you. how do you define a freeway? Does Happy Valley have a huge...
205.
It's a 205 one, okay. This, can you define the freeway then?
In the bill, it refers to a specific ORS section that defines a freeway, which I don't have that code section with me, but it's...
We have the... We'll pull the statute for Representative Monica.
Thank you.
That's in 215.710. Or no,
it's
377.710. Please continue.
At this point, if I could have Herb Hirsch make a presentation, he needs to leave for another committee meeting.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Herb Hirsch. I'm the president of North Plains City Council. I've lived in North Plains for over 21 years. During that time, I've spent 16 years on the City Council, 1 year on the City Planning Commission, and for the 4 years that I wasn't on the City Council, my wife was the mayor. So I have a little bit of background as to what's been going on in North Plains for at least the last 20-some-odd years. During that time, North Plains has tried to change its urban growth boundary consistently every single year that I've been on that City Council. Now, I have to tell you, and without getting into a diatribe on process of LCDC and so on, that at best, the process is cumbersome, lengthy, and costly to a small city. Small cities have a very tough time meeting all the criteria without hitting roadblocks caused by the process and by controversial laws and rules such as this one. Now, we've always told people that one of the things we've prided ourselves in Oregon on, having worked in state government, we've always said federal government. You have to remember that in Oregon, we believe that one size doesn't fit all. And I personally believe that this is a situation that's very similar. One size doesn't fit all. So what works in Portland or Baker City may not necessarily work in North Plains. Conversely, what works in North Plains may not work in Portland or Baker City. Yet, portions of our land use laws create that one-size-fits-all situation. And we find it, as a small city, those kinds of things would be very hard to deal with. As a matter of fact, they actually inhibit growth. And they take away local control so that we have less and less chance to determine what our destiny is. So it isn't a matter of us wanting unplanned or senseless growth or carte blanche approval of everything we want to do. It's just simply saying we'd like a little more. We'd like the option of being able to control our actions a little bit more. Now, this bill takes a step towards helping those small cities deal with a problem related to those exception lands,